This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Good evening, gentle listeners, and thank you for joining us for a special fund drive edition of It's the Economy on your community radio station, KGNU. I'm your host, Verity Matthews, here with my co-host and producer, Patrick Mendoza. Hey, Patrick, it's so great to be in the studio with you yet again.
Likewise, Verity. Thanks for having me along.
Absolutely. So this evening, we are going to be talking about the food and beverage industry, more specifically some establishments that are owned and operated by two of Denver's most accomplished Latina restaurateurs. KGNU's Rosana Longo Better sits down with Tamil Maldonado, owner and VP of development at Raiza's Brewery, to talk about her experience becoming a steward of the arts and a brewer of craft beer. But first, we will hear my conversation with Dana Rodriguez, executive chef at Casa Bonita and owner and head chef at Cantina Loca, Work in Class, and Super Mega Bien. Let's go ahead and meet Dana Rodriguez.
I'm Dana Rodriguez, and I'm the chef for Work in Class, Super Mega Bien, Cantina Loca, and now Casa Bonita.
Welcome to our program, It's the Economy, on KGNU, where we're going to be talking about powerful women of color in the restaurant industry in the Denver Metro. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. This is exciting.
Tell us a little bit about your history. Where did you grow up and what was it like?
It's a pretty fun story. I grew up on a farm with my mom and my dad. I'm an only child in Chihuahua, Mexico. Chihuahua is the border with El Paso, so I grew up over there. We live in a small little farm until I was 8. I do a lot of grains and animals with my father, fix cars and learn everything that the men will teach a son, but I was the one learning everything. I was the only one. And then when I was 9, we moved to Juarez, which is the border. So I can continue going to school because in the farm is only like to 8th grade. I went to Monterrey, which is where I born, to continue like high school and college. And I wanted to always be a banker. I wanted to count money. For whatever reason, when I was on the farm, we have a, my family is always on retail. We have a grocery store, a meat store, you name it. We rent houses and all of that. So I wanted just to be counting money. And I have a cute pictures when I was probably like 3 or 4, taking the money from my dad's store and just put like, I only know how to count like 1, 2, 3. And then I put a little rock on top and then I continue. So he always think I will be somehow in retail. So yeah, that's when I was little.
And then you got bigger and somehow ended up in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, I went to engineer computers in Mexico. And okay. My mom has a little clothing store. So I always on retail around. I didn't finish my career. I got young. I got married when I was very young. I was not even 19. And I have my kids at a very young age. So I have 3 daughters. And I remember 1997, it was one of the worst times in the border, especially for females. A lot of kids are disappearing from work, from school. And me having 3 daughters, I'm like, I gotta move from here. I have a good house there with my parents and everything. I got divorced right away when my 3rd daughter born. And I moved to the States, 1998. And I mean, it's a life-changing, you know. You move from a different country, you don't speak the language, and you try to figure it out how to find a way to give your kids a better life. So that's where the whole journey started in Colorado.
And so you moved to Colorado and you started in a kitchen and you met a woman who was a chef who became a mentor for you and kind of helped you move up the ranks and really showed you a lot about the business.
Yeah, well, I always believe that things happen for a reason. Always, you know, I'm like, it's a pattern in life that I believe that if you're a good person, you're going to meet good people who help you to grow up and to do things and to accomplish your goals and follow your dreams. So I remember the first restaurant that I applied when I moved in November 1998, it was actually Casa Bonita. In my mind, you know, you move to a new state that you don't know, and it's a Mexican restaurant. So you would think like, hey, people is going to help me. I don't speak English, like whatever. So I went over there. I apply and they say I wasn't qualified. And now these days I get it, right? Like they're looking for a resume with a person or an application that a person that works in a Mexican restaurant before. I came from the border. I have my own little store. I go into engineer computers. Like they're like, this girl doesn't know how to make quesadillas or enchiladas or anything like that. So they didn't hire me. And, you know, at that point, I was disappointed because I was thinking those are the only people that couldn't help me. So they say no. And I went downtown and I applied at Panzano. It's close to here, Champa and 17 at the Hotel Monaco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're about to open. I see the sign outside. We're hiring. It's still under construction. You can see like the dust and the windows and all of that. So I stop by and the chef there, Ben Davidson, he speaks a little Spanish. So he say, what do you know in English? And I say numbers and dates. That's mm-hmm. it. But he was really good. He said, no, we're going to hire you as a dishwasher. You're going to start early before we open the restaurant so we can start cleaning and getting ready for the opening. So he hired me right away. And then the next year, Jennifer Jasinski moved from California. And Beth Gruish, she was working in Chicago. So they both take over the restaurant. And, you know, being girls and Jen from California, she speak a little Spanish. Beth has been in the restaurant industry for a while, too. Her husband used to be the chef at Cheesecake Factory. So they kind of understand a little bit of Spanglish. Mm-hmm. I say that. So we communicate really well. And I think they both see that I was hungry to learn. You know, it's an Italian restaurant. I don't speak English. I don't understand all those ingredients. And they literally, Jen take me under her arm and she's like, I'm going to teach you everything. And Beth was the best support of everything that I do. So from dishwasher to making house make pastas, to run banquets, to do pastry department, and then become the sous chef when I learn all the stations. Again, it's everything happened at the right time with the right people and all of that. So when I become the sous chef, at the same time, she know that she wanted to open her own restaurant with Beth. And they say, well, if we train you really well, you can go with us and work. We can work together. So they're giving me the opportunity to learn everything. You know, if I have financial questions and voices, I talk to Beth. Jen tell me everything about the kitchen. Jen and Beth decide to open Rioja, and they invite me to be the sous chef and also a business partner. So I tell her, give me 6 months and I get 3 jobs. So I work at Cheesecake Factory. I was cleaning at the Tivoli Center. And then I give my job at Panzano to put some money together, savings. And I become a partner with them when we opened Rioja 18 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. That's a really wild story.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. But the best part of all of this, when I was a dishwasher, Tony, my business partner now, he was on the bar at Panzano. Mm-hmm. And that's how we met. You know, we always play with things like we should have a food truck, a taco stand. We should have our own thing one day. You know, just talk a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, sure. That would never happen, whatever. So when we opened Rioja, Tony come to work with us later on. So Tony and I, we know on 1998 at Panzano. And then we meet at Rioja again. And that's when we started just playing with ideas of, you know, having our own little restaurant. And that's when Working Class born 10 years ago. And I don't know if you know our third partner, Tabata. Mm-hmm. She's another girl, beautiful girl from Mom is Black, Dad is White, beautiful lady playing tennis at a very young age, but having a hard time because, you know, she's not the typical white girl, or it was hard for her. Mm-hmm. And her sister and all of that. And the things that you went through, she started with us as a hostess and then as a busser. And then Tony and I, you know, going from our first partnership with a different person. It was pretty bad divorce, as we always say here. You know, sometimes people turn greedy and doesn't have the same values that you have, and it's not a good partnership. That's one of the biggest fears you always have when you want to open your own little place and dream. You can lose everything for people that they don't think the same way you do. But we're very blessed and lucky that we find Tab. She's our third partner, and she ran all the numbers, all the restaurants, Working Class, and then we opened Super Mega BN together, and then she helped me with my solo Cantina Loca. Mm-hmm. She runs all the offices, all the numbers, and, you know, having a person that you can trust. Not just because she's female. Tony's amazing. We say we babysit Tony between both of us. Mm-hmm. we're a really good partnership, and I think that's where everything starts. You know, having a good partners that you can trust, having a good team on the kitchens that you know they love what they're doing and have passion for food, that's what it makes you to accomplish all the dreams. Now when I go back and think, I'm like when I was a little girl on the farm, and where I am right now is just like the opportunities that you find when you work hard and when you're a good person, it put you in a really good spot.
You've had all the success. You are offered partial equity in Working Class with Tony. What did that mean to you as a woman who came to the States with three young daughters, who worked your way up through a predominantly male-dominated field? What did that mean to you personally to be offered that kind of that opportunity and that partnership?
You know, it was so interesting. When I started working with Jen, I think she has more hard time with, it was a lot of males than female chefs. When we started working, it was Beth, Jen, and myself. It was three girls, very strong, that we wanted to be diverse. We wanted to prove the world that we can get whatever we want to go, right? So being with Tony, I always think it's important to have men behind you that they support what you do and respect what your strengths are. And Tony is one of those people. You know, when Tony and I, we start Working Class, and then we decide when we have Tabata with us, it doesn't matter how much everybody put with money, with financials. It's about the knowledge and the values that we can bring to a business. So we are all 33.3% owners, and we share everything because we believe that if we help to each other and we respect what the strain of Tony is, just talking to customers and being the funny guy and being the grumpy old man that we always say, mm-hmm. me behind the kitchen and Tabata being the floor manager and running all the offices and all of that stuff, it's just the unique opportunity that life put you in that moment with the right people. And I think that's something to say about, you know, when I start with Jen and Beth, they are my mentors. And here is the new generation. They spend time to train me and to teach me everything. So you become a good leader. And that's what I'm trying to do now, you know, like to show my chefs how to do everything, how to train the new staff. And that's why we have three restaurants now. You know, it's so hard without a good team that they follow your leadership and they believe in what you do and they represent you really well. And that goes from the bartender, from Tony, my business partner, from Tabata, from everyone in the business. You know, it's the opportunity that you get to try to, you know, you always say ignorance is our worst enemy because we can keep learning every day, no matter what you do, no matter what industry you work for. I mean, just food. Every day I'm like, oh, what is this ingredient? I never heard about it. And you'd be surprised that like, really, you don't know this? I'm like, no, you know, you keep learning. And with business, it's not different. You know, you keep learning every day how to manage your business, how to be a leader, how to be a kind person, how to represent those values to your community and to your employees and take care of the good people.
So, you know, the elephant in the room is you've been tapped by South Park creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker to reinvent the food and drink menu at Denver's world-famous Casa Bonita as the new executive chef. I am wondering, what opportunities does that offer you as a creator, an artist, as a chef? And is there anything different in what you're going to be doing with Casa Bonita from what you would have done with, say, Working Class or Super Mega Bien, starting a restaurant from the ground up?
So all of the restaurants that I have, Working Class, Super Mega Bien, and Cantina Loca, we build everything from the ground. So you learn so much when you're doing those things, right? And, you know, when I start doing the Cantina Loca solo,
right?
It's not like, Tony's like, I'm done, I'm all, I don't want to own any more businesses. But if I call Tony, I need help with the bar, can you help me how to design this? He's the best to design and open restaurants. He go there and he's like, okay, you need this here, you need this here. And we still a team. I think the most important thing is you need to approach everything being humble and being kind, you know, and the opportunities will literally just fall on your lap. When I get the phone call from the South Park team, first I thought it was a joke because I'm like, oh, they didn't want to hire me in the beginning, blah, 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 whatever. It's one of my friends making me a joke. But the reality is that when I have my first meetings, you know, I ask them, I say, what are your values? What are you trying to do? What you want to accomplish? Because for me, not because it's South Park, Matt and Trey are amazing people. They have a great team behind. But I say, if you're gonna partner with people that they have the same values that I do for my employees, to take care of the communities. This one is not just an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity that I'm going to use as a platform to hire, I don't know, 500 employees, to give the opportunity to so many people to engage with. I'm already involved in 36 charity events. What is this going to look like? Casa Bonita is not a difference because those guys are good enough and kind enough that offer me a partnership. It's a different than just going consult and then you're out. Mm-hmm. When you're a partner, you're a partner with the same values, with the same dreams, with the same things that you want to accomplish.
And you have plans to bring on, bring back a lot of the original staff or the former staff.
Actually, those guys from South Park, they are paying employees. It's almost like between 60 and 100, they go back and forth and base if they want to find a different job or they want to stay under their payroll since last year. They've been paying employees, and they put them in different nonprofits like Work Option for Women's or Same Cafe downtown, Angel Heart Project, so many other ones. So they go and do a volunteer work, and they still getting paid since last year from South Park team. So it's an amazing thing what they do, and that's one of the things that it made me feel, I'm like, oh, they're so different than me, right? Because what they do, and it's a totally different industry. But I think it's so important that they have the same values. They care for their employees. They care for Colorado community. They care for local people to be part of that 2.0 that is going to be amazing. And, you know, it was one of my first thing. I say, well, it doesn't matter about the money. It doesn't matter about the partnership. Well, everybody say, yes, it does. It's true. It does, based on what you're going to provide and, you know, the time you spend in and your knowledge and all of this to train people and to make good food and all of that. Yeah, it does matter. But to me, it's not the most important thing. If I know they are not good people and they are going to do the wrong thing at Casa or with employees, so they don't care about certain things that I care, I would not take the job for $1 million a month. You know, to me, the important is a good partnerships about opportunities. All the opportunities that this place is going to bring. And I tell those employees, now they're working at my restaurant so I can train them. and the way that I love the food, that I respect the communities, that I wanted to do the right thing. You know, every day when I do the orientation, last week I was talking to them and I say, we all very lucky and we're blessed and we have to be thankful that those guys are the one who end buying that property. Because they know Casa Bonita, they love Casa Bonita, they can put the money that place needs to be a safe place. And before it wasn't, you know, when we tear all the walls and all the things that we find, I'm like, if it was a different people that they don't have the money, that they don't want to do the right thing, they can just paint it and continue. And it's not even a good place to be there. And these guys try to do the best for everyone, and that's including me and all of the employees that we're going to have in the place. So I think, yes, the foundation of who people is behind and what they believe on, it's one of the things more attractive to be part of 2.0 at Casa Bonita.
That's so exciting. So, Cantina Loca. First of all, just give us a little rundown.
So, Cantina Loca, we opened a month ago.
Oh, you
We
did.
Already opened. So, it is on 29 in Zuni.
Okay.
Lojai. Mm-hmm. It is a bar from Mexico City. It's my first place solo. Obviously, I have Tabata with me because, you know, I don't trust another person to be behind my financials, my office, or anything. So she's my business partner for life. And that's very important to me. Tony's there to help or whatever. But, you know, it's two girls, a black girl and a Mexican girl, trying to prove the world that you don't need to be fighting to accomplish things. You can just be happy and enjoy what you do and be kind and be humble, and the doors will open for you and you accomplish your dreams. So we opened Cantina last month. We've been so blessed and happy and busy every night. I do that because I'm a partner in another company with another female producing organic mezcal and tequila. It's three of us in a different company. It's called Digame. And the mezcal and tequila is called Doña Loca, like me. So I have Scott and Karen. Those are the founders and myself. And, you know, we want to be like a white label for the people in Mexico to represent the good organic things that they can be doing over there without exploding, you know, all the people and not taking care of the land. Like, we wanted to do something really good. That's my other job that I have. And that cantina is specific to do some education and tastings about the Doña Loca, how we produce 100% organic, how we wanted to do the nonprofit to help the communities in Mexico and to do the right thing with everybody over there instead of just going buy for cheap and sell it for a lot. It's more about helping them to have a good life and to help them to take care of the land and be proud of what they produce.
Wow, you are doing a lot of things. How on earth do you balance it all?
Right? Well, it's the key is you don't do things on your own. You have the best team. You know, I have the best chef at Super Mega, at Working Class, at Cantina Loca. All of those guys, they've been working with me forever. Like, we meet 20 years ago, 24 years ago. So they know exactly how I work. We work together that if I'm there or not, you wanna see the difference. They do the things exactly the same way that I do it. Having Tony and Tab, every person in one restaurant, and then I'm in Cantina right now because it's the new one. And then just find the balance. You know, you go one day to each restaurant, you talk to people, you talk to customers, you jump in the kitchen, make sure everything is fine. That's the key, having the right people, appreciating your employees. That's the most important thing, more than your customers. Because if you take care of your employees, they take care of the customers. So the customers will come back. And I think our staff is happy. We don't have any issues to hire anyone for Cantina. We don't even need to put any ads. You know, it's the people that they grow with us and they want another opportunity to keep growing with us. So now the prep, they can be cooks. The cooks can be sous chefs. The sous chefs can be chefs. And, you know, the key and everything is having a good team. That's the bottom line.
So you're bringing people up in much the same way that you were brought up by these two women that made you part of an awesome girl team from the beginning.
100%. You know, it's that you learn that leadership part and you just do the same thing.
Well, Dana Rodriguez, owner, part owner, do you need to go by part owner, owner of Work and Class, Super Mega Bien, now Cantina Loca, new executive chef and partner at Casa Bonita 2.0, partner with
Doña Loca Mezcal and Tequila.
Doña Loca Mezcal and Tequila. And all around woman to be watched in the community. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story and sharing your philosophy about work and community. And thanks for coming in and sharing your story. And I can't wait to come in and check out Cantina Loca in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'll see you soon there. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Now, moving on and on It's the Economy, we will touch a spotlight on Raíces Brewing, located in the Sun Valley neighborhood of Denver. Raíces is a Latino-owned and operated brew pub in Colorado. It features award-winning craft beers, a rotating Latin American food selection, and ongoing cultural events. Raíces aims to become a reference center for those interested in learning about Latin culture. For Latinos, Raíces is a place where one can connect with other Latinos and feel at home surrounded by traditional Latin food, music, culture, and great beer. For non-Latinos, Raíces is a place where, in addition to having great food, music, and beer, people can learn more about Latin culture and its richness. Through their programming, they serve as a community, cultural, and resource center, with their pillars being community, culture, and cerveza. Tamil Maldonado Vega, the VP of Development, serves as an active, transformational leader making strategic decisions while handling programs and managing the front of the house. In partnership with the CEO, Tamil is responsible for the design and implementation of a comprehensive plan for Raíces. In addition to outreach, establishing external alliances, cultivating relationships, and developing activities, Tamil's knowledge in self-managed organizations and running cultural organizations ensures the brewery has year-round programming and community engagement. I sat sidelined for this interview, but KGNU producer Rosana Longo-Better spoke with Tamil about the history and the importance of Raíces Brewing.
March is International Women's Month, and I am honored that I have with me Tamil Maldonado, founder of Barrio E, an organization that fosters Latino arts and culture in Colorado. She's also a co-founder and a VP of development at Raíces Brewing Company. You are originally from Puerto Rico, and you have come to the United States at the beginning to pursue a career in academics. But now you are considered a leader in elevating awareness of the Pan-American identities, cultivating Latino leadership, and advocating for diversity in the arts in Colorado. It's a pleasure to have you today, Tamil.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to actually be speaking with you and providing information to the general public.
For this International Women's Month, we are speaking with women of color who have become foundational in Denver's restaurant scene. And you have been chosen as the strong Latina. I love it when people say, you know, to me, Rosana, you're a chingona. And I'm gonna name you chingona today. With all that expression that I love from my Mexican community, chingona. That's what you are. You are a chingona. As we mentioned, you came to the States to pursue a career in academics. Please tell our listeners when and how your journey changed course.
So I think that in my life, I've always been involved somehow with community, arts, music, self-managed organizations. Growing up, I had three amazing women in my life that were my influence in my whole life and what I do right now as well. My mom, which was a leader in Puerto Rico, and she was also the president for 30 plus years in a organization, self-managed organization that make things happen in their neighborhood for them, covering their needs, but also she expanded into becoming a social worker and really a professor later in her life. covering master's degrees of other students in community. And I was a little girl that was going to every single meeting, that it was going with her to the conferences. And there were two other people, my two grandmothers, which they were leaders in their times. They were the value of family, the value of love. I really learned from them. And I think that is driving me till this day. And the reason I'm saying this is because to us, family is important. To us, love is important. And having a role model is important too. And I hope that people can see in their surroundings role models, even though they are not famous, they are there to actually maybe put a seed on you and having the chance for you to explore other horizons.
The labor of love, that's what you just described right now, Tamil. For me, the question that I want to ask you straightforward is, what were the most difficult things that you have to face in order to be able to be where you are right now? Because you, along with your team, went into a business model that is not occupied by females and even less by people of color.
Yeah. So connecting what you just asked before with this, I've been always in a journey where I've been maybe the only female, the only Latina in the areas of when I was studying mathematics in United States or computational mathematics, atmospheric sciences later on.
I was not aware that that was your level of education, Mamita Linda. You're rocking it.
So actually, you know, like I've been in different forums, but along that journey, I was maybe the only person that was Latina, like, for example, Arizona State University, when I was studying applied mathematics over there, I was the only Latina. There was another one Latino during the time that I was there. And encountering all these situations where my question was, why we don't have more Latinos in here? Why we don't have that much representation? And asking the hard questions of opportunities and access and really, you know, the institutions, how they have been serving the society. And I'm there having that opportunity and also like seeing their racism around me as well and feeling it as well during the time that I was going through all this journey. And I think that that was kind of a tipping point for me, having that impact of culture, like coming from Puerto Rico where everybody's warm, everybody's hugging each other. You know a person and you kiss them at the moment that you met them. And coming over here and having that cultural shock that when I actually met someone in a seminar, and then my first seminar in the university, and I saw that person in another place outside of the university, I just went and tried to hug the person or kiss the person, and the person actually backed down because it's not their culture. And I started having all these, you know, situations that later I understood where they were coming from, but also I understood more of my identity. And I also wanted to be more open up about who I was and also forming communities that really support identities and really support who they are, their culture, their identities, and not even that, but not only that, but actually sharing that with the world.
The place that you have created really is a welcoming place for diverse cultures. People that are loud, express themselves with their hands, dance around if they want to. And weird expressions, I'm going to say unique expressions of our unique culture that is extremely diverse, because being Latino is a big concept.
Yeah. And we are heading out from right now, Black History Month. That's something that we don't talk a lot in the Latino community, but we are, you know, our influences from the Black history and being part of that culture is also something that defines me as a person. And trying to expose that a little bit more through Barrio E, for example, doing some Puerto Rican bomba that has the influence of and the richness of Black culture. So I think that it's very important for us during the months that we are celebrating really to look back into how I am influenced by this. For example, Women's Month, we talk about, you know, we want to talk about women and with women, but at the same time, tell your guys as well, hey, have you had a person that influenced you, a woman that actually influenced you in your life? And when you actually ask that question, many of them, they say, oh, my mom, or somebody that actually took care of them to get what they were. And that's something that we need to realize, that this is something that it needs to be in celebration of the society, the Women's Month.
I'm speaking with Tamil Maldonado, a passionate Puerto Rican. He's the founder of Barrio E, an organization dedicated to educating, preserving, and promoting art and traditional Caribbean and Latin American music and dance. But also, she's the co-founder of this beautiful brewing company called Raices that is making a big stand up in Denver. You have a place where people go and they feel welcome, where they bring their culture, their music, their salsa, I'm going to say, and they really feel that they can occupy this safe space. In that space, you're not only providing beer with all the different tasting, just remember that cafecito one that I love so much right now, but you're also bringing dialogues, and you're already have these in this space, things like Latinas Beers and Book Club. You have Raices Karaoke, Azúcar Nights, Sábados Bailables, and with Chimbangle that I don't want to miss. You really have created a place where the food, the drinks, and the culture are completely elevated and are welcoming to a diverse community.
It's good that you're actually talking about Cafecito, because actually today is a beer release of Cafecito again. And the reason we're releasing a Cafecito in our tap room, everything has an intention in Raices. Raices has a pillar, the three pillars of Raices are community, culture, and cerveza. Comunidad, cultura, y cerveza. And all the programming actually goes around that. And when we are celebrating, for example, Women's Month, we actually do programming that is around that. Cafecito, it's the beer that really is supporting women workers and in business. You know, the coffee that we use, it comes from Guatemala, from Huehuetenango, from a cooperative of women that did everything from like sitting into harvesting, taking it down, and provided it to another business here in Denver, Copper Door, that is a women-owned business. And then from them, it gets to us. So through Cafecito, we are supporting women's work, women's business. That's why we're so happy to actually have this release today. Also, through the programming that you are mentioning, we try to exalt a topic, in this case, women, what they're doing in our communities, their relationships, their dreams, and their work. And right now we are having a collective of women in visual art and photography that we are putting on this week, that are women in visual arts and photography, and they are having an exhibition at Raices. We also have labels that are about Latina leaders for our crawlers and our cans. So when you actually buy some products, you can have your cafecito in there or other products that you like, but also having a label with amazing women. We do have artisans, women that are coming this month as well. We have performers like, for example, Elisa y su trio, that she's coming on March 19th. Paola Inez is coming on March 24th. And then we have even Chimbangde this Saturday, they have elite singer as well that is women. And we want to provoke that role model of people that are upfront, that are women. And as you mentioned today, every first Wednesday of the month, we have the Latinas Beers and Book Club, where they read books from authors, Latino authors, and having the space to actually talk about it and build community around sharing knowledge. So it's very important to us to really support the community in many different ways.
So it's really a model around community, around elevating these things that are already happening in the Latino community that are natural. That is the secret. That's a secret ingredient from what I'm listening to you explain to me, all the other things that are offered in this space. I want to take you quickly to, you know, what has happened. We went through a pandemic, and as you were starting in your new space, you had to improvise, but you were able to not only bring local brewers of color, but then you were able to bring even a bigger, huge party. And I cannot even imagine how you have been dealing with this. So my question to you is, what advice would you give to those girls that want to come into this environment, brew their own handmade brews and yummy things in a male-dominated industry like this one?
One of the things that happened through COVID is that we needed to strategize over and over and being really like fluid with what was happening in the world. It wasn't only in our location, it was a worldwide pandemic, right? So everybody was suffering in one way or another. And to stay alive as a business, women as a business, you need to strategize all the time to really stay alive in situations like this. And not only that, but in our case, it was another challenge on top of that, which was how can we be authentic and genuine about the pillars if we are not having people in here? And it became another challenge to me to strategize on how to involve people in the community or how to be part of the community in situations like this. And we did a lot of different things, not being open, but at the same time, having the curbside, having contests, utilizing a lot of social media, utilizing a YouTube channel to showcase the artists. We posted and still supported all these people that we are actually a platform of visibility of Latino community at Raices. Having the food trucks functioning outside, even though we were closed, because we want to be there for them. How to blast music, because we knew that people were riding their bikes outside and they needed a little bit of light. They needed a little bit of energy. And when they heard that, they would like come and stop by and say hi through the door. And having those moments where you can really be there for the community, and even some of the monies that we recover, we actually provided to other people like health or people that really needed it, undocumented people that were going through COVID. So we really wanted to just continuing having alive those pillars somehow. And I think that people have, you know, saw that, and I think it just helped them and it helped us to continue to stay alive and be productive.
Fantastic. I would like to just ask you the last advice, your last thoughts or shout outs for females during this International Women's Month?
There is a lot of women that I'm seeing through Raices and through other spaces where I've been part of that are doing amazing work in the community. And sometimes it's very hard to think of them in other ways that are not leadership, right? But they do have families, they do have work, they do have other things, and they are really superheroes when it comes into play. I would like to inspire other women to look for those women, to get involved in what you feel passionate about, in what you feel that is your interest. And really, like, if you want to do some business, finding the time to write a good business plan, finding the time to really look for that team and support system that you need so you can flourish, it's very important and it's very needed, especially for women. So, you know, it makes a difference when you have the support and that when you find the right people to be behind you or with you. In my case, I believe that cooperation, collaboration, sustaining each other, giving some words that are nice to each other, especially women. We need that, and we can do that for others as well. So just keep it up, get inspired, and do something about it.
Thank you so much, Tamil Maldonado, for taking the time today to talk to us in this month of March that we celebrate the power of the female force that brings down all the creativity and all the love that unite all of us. Thank you so much again for joining us today. I have been speaking with Tamil Maldonado Vega, founder of Barrio E, an organization that fosters Latino arts and culture in Colorado. She's also a co-founder and VP of development of Raices Brewery, a place where culture, food, and yummy beer comes together to celebrate our culture and our energy. And I cannot wait to go dance with you in one of those Sábados Bailables. Thank you so much again, Tamil.
Come on up, and we will be waiting at Raices Brewing Company, 2060 West Colfax in Denver, in front of the Broncos games or Meow Wolf. A lot of people actually know where that is right now. So thank you.
Location, location, and location, and love, lots of love. Thank you again. Sending you kisses, and I'll be there.
Thank you.
Bye.
Very special thanks to Rosana Longo Better for her contribution to tonight's It's the Economy.
And thank you to Jaina Rodriguez and Tamil Maldonado Vega for their contributions. And I wish you all a good night.
Join us next week at 6 o'clock for a fresh report of It's the Economy. In the meantime, keep it locked to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Highway 322 comes up at the top of the hour. Good night, everybody. Let the dollar circulate.